Well, I can't see the burden here, but I hope it's a big pile. And the Lord is your rest. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Sabbath. So let's stand and take the bread and remember the price that he paid to be the Lord of Sabbath so that we can have rest in him. Take this bread and remember him. Take the wine, believing that he takes our burden with the price, and this is the price that we pay, that he paid, so that we can have rest. Let's pray. Thank you. Lord Jesus, you're the Lord of Sabbath, and you desire for us to rest in you. And you invite us to rest in you. And Lord Jesus, we just ask, Lord, that you constantly remind us that whatever we cannot handle ourselves, that we leave it up to you. We bring it to the throne of grace and leave it there, and you can carry it for us. We thank you for your love for us and the invitations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please be seated.
Would you turn to Exodus chapter 20? We're going to use two Sundays to just go through the Ten Commandments. Because I believe the rest of the law is built on these Ten Commandments. So all the Leviticus law, all the other things, all the worshiping, the sacrifice, and all the moral law, everything is an expansion of the Ten Commandments. So we'll cover the first four today, and next week we'll cover the rest of the commandment. And then we'll move on to Hebrew. Hebrew is sort of kind of bridge between the Old and the New Testament. So we'll go on to Hebrew. In the New Testament. But the last time when I leave you, I give you the impressions from chapter 19 of Exodus, verse 4 to 6. That's when God declared the Hebrew, the Israelites, to be his people, to be royal priest for him. Okay. So, just like American Declaration of Independence. Now what? We are independent. Hooray. Then what? Right? And that's why American, the colony got together in Philadelphia and to discuss, to formulate a constitution. There is American constitutions. And similarly with God, after he declared the nations, declare Hebrew is his people, and make them a nation. Now what? Well, they have, how are they going to govern themselves as a nations? How are they going to relate to God? How are they going to relate to each other? What is do's and don'ts in this nations? Well, that's all part of the constitutions. So, beginning in chapter 20 of Exodus is the constitution of God's people. Constitution of God's people. In this Ten Commandments, and then later on the Leviticus laws and all that, is how God is going to govern his people. How God look at them to see what is permissible, what is not permissible. And God cares so much about that. Even what they eat, God has a law for that. How they are to worship God. How are they to deal with transgressions when they transgress against God or transgress against each other. All these things are very clearly spelled out
in the law of Moses, what we call this whole, a literature, all these laws,
we call the law of Moses. And that is to be the documents that governs Israel and the Hebrews. So, like I said, we are to divide this into two sermons. One deal with the first four. First four deal with how you relate to God. How you relate to God.
What God demands of you. What God demands of you. And the last six is how you to relate to each other. And what does God expect of you
when you relate to each other? So we'll do this. But I also want to offer to you, looking at these commandments, especially the first four commandments, from a context of a marriage. Context of a marriage. You know, when God declared that, Hebrew, you are my people, in a sense, in many other places in the scripture, God described that relationship as husband and wife. As husband and wife. So, God, the Lord, is the husband who take on Hebrew as his wife. So, as you look at the Ten Commandments, it's probably a good idea when you have that context in mind. Why does God have 1, 2, 3, 4? These commandments, we'll get into it. When in the context of relationships, in the context, they're not just codified law. You know, a lot of times we just think it's codified. Okay, you should have no other God. Okay, right. No other God. But you have to appreciate it more in the context of relationships with God, especially in the context of marriage. And to begin with this, and we have to look at this also not only in the context of marriage, but also in a context of marriage on the rock. A troubled marriage. Because God knows what Hebrew will do, what Hebrew is like, what people is like. So God is giving these commandments in the context of marriage, of a troubled marriage. And I'll show you, but you probably don't, you probably know. This is who God is. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. It says, do not worship any other God. This is first commandment, right? For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Do you know God's name is jealous? So you have to look at this first commandment. Okay, at least here, Exodus 34, mention that first commandment. You should have no other God because I am a jealous God. My name is jealous. So, now, the first four commandments comes into focus in the marriage covenant, in the marriage context, and also in a context where jealousy happens, could happen. Why would a husband jealous of a wife or wife jealous of a husband? Because there are other lovers the other person had. You're trying to be faithful. The husband wants to be faithful, but the wife is not. Jealousy consumes the husband. So we begin to look at the four commandments that God had for Israel. The first four is from this perspective. From this perspective. Then you appreciate why God says what he says. then you'll appreciate. Okay, let's just read it. How about that? Read Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to verse 8. Well, before we read it, just test you. What is the first commandment? What's the second commandment? Third and fourth. Just roll it out. Just tell me. First commandment. You guys are all Christians, man. Shame on you. You don't know the first commandment.
No other God besides God.
It's a, no other God besides me, right? Okay. Second commandment.
No idols.
No idols. Okay, good. Third commandment.
You should name him Ben.
Thank you, my wife. So, do not misuse God's name, right? Fourth commandment.
Sabbath.
Keep the Sabbath, right? So these four all had to do with how you relate to God. How you relate to God. In the context of marriage, you marry to God. Also in the context that you may commit adultery. You may commit adultery. Okay, so let me read it. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God. See that words again? A jealous God. Punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord Yahweh will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your works, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Yahweh your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rests on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and make it holy. Four commandments. First, because God is jealous that you should have no other gods before me. So what does that mean when you have other gods in a marriage context? In this illustration, a relationship with God is like a husband and wife relationship. When you have other gods, is that means that you have going out of your covenantal relationship, you have another lover. Someone that you love other than God. And God often used this illustration to say Israel have other gods that they have abandoned their husband. They had gone after, they call it prostitutes and all that. Descriptions of the unfaithfulness of Israel because they worship other gods. Because they worship other gods. You know, I think this is a reasonable commandment, right? How many of you will say, okay, I don't care if my husband have another lovers. I don't care if my wife have another lover. Let's have an open marriage.
How many of you will take that arrangement? None. Especially if you're Christians. So it is a reasonable thing for God to codify it and put it on the tablet of stone that you shall not have another lovers. That is our covenantal marriage. That's our marriage vow too, right? Till death do us part. That's what it means. That you are connected together until one of you die. That's marriage. So there is no open marriage in our times, and there's no open relationship with other gods. That's what the first commandment means. You shall have no other gods, because I already took you as mine. I already took you as my wife. Reasonable. It's reasonable. But you know something? Israel have consistently unable to keep that first commandment. Reason, you know what? Consistently unable to keep that first one. And that doing all of our pastoral ministry, we see that as consistently a challenge to the marriage couple to remain faithful to each other. Remain faithful. Not having another lovers outside of marriage. So that was the first one, right? But you know some? I feel, in our society, when we have adultery, then that's a ground for divorce, right? It's legally you can divorce the person. But you know God is not like that. God is not saying, okay, because Israel, you have been unfaithful, and I don't want you, I cut you off. You're no longer my wife and no longer my people. God is, it's not like that. Even though Israel consistently violate the first commandment, this is what God says in Hosea. Hosea is a prophet. Let me just read it to you. Hosea is God is telling Hosea, this is what they have, Israel had done, but this is what I will do. This is Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, beginning in verse 14, and go all the way to verse 23. This is the heart of the husband, God, to Israel. Therefore, this is after he punished Israel for being unfaithful to him, worshiping other idols, worshiping other God. Therefore, after that, I'm now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. This is all Israel. There I, God, will give her, Israel, back her vineyard and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the days she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. He's speaking to Israel. And that day, you will call the Lord my husband, rather than master. I will remove the name of the Baal from her lips. Baal is an idol. No longer will their name be invoked. In that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground, bow and sword and battle, I will abolish from the land. Bow and sword and battle, I will abolish from the land so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge Yahweh.
In that day, I will respond, declared the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine and oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I call not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. These are the people. That's us. We were not his people. We're not his loved one, but at that day, he will call us. And they will say, you are my God. He's faithful to Israel, even though Israel is not faithful to him. Breaking that first commandment, but God says, I will call them back. I will betroth them to myself again. I will love them. I will supply all their needs. I will be their husband. They're not going to be my slave like he called me the master. This is who God is. Even when in every instances we violate the first commandment, that we have other gods, other lovers, committed adultery, being unfaithful. But God is faithful to his covenant to us. Second one, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath. This is also from a jealous point of view. It says, I am a jealous God, so you shall not make yourself any idols. Why idols? You know, I mean, it's not an issue for us today in the scientific age, right? Who will believe that something made out of wood and stone can protect you, grant you wishes? You know, we are scientific people. Modern man, no, this is not true. Well, God told us regarding the idol many, many years ago before today. In Deuteronomy 4, Moses told Israelite that, you know, he's not going to the promised land with them. And warn them about worshiping these idols who has eyes but cannot see, whose mouth cannot speak. This is what Moses said about idol worship in Deuteronomy 4. Verse 15. Let's see, beginning with verse 15. You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of fire. Therefore, watch yourself very carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourself an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman, or like any animal on earth or any bird that flies in the air, or like any creature that moves along the ground or any fish in the waters below. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worship them. The Lord your God has proportion to all the nations under heaven. So Moses was very clear in Deuteronomy 4, is that don't do this, don't do this. Looking from the context of marriage and jealousy, how can we understand that? How can we understand that? Imagine with me that you're married, right? You have husband and wife. And your wife has a picture of her former boyfriend everywhere in the house. What do you think? Well, I had my former girlfriend pictures all over the house. What do you think she thinks? That is the context of jealousies. That will enrage me or enrage my wife, right?
You're already married. Why do you still have all these pictures everywhere?
Do not make yourself an idol. Meaning that you get rid of all these things once you come to the Lord.
Once you are married with the Lord, in chapter 19, when the Lord declared them to depend on Him, once that happened, all these pictures are gone forever. You cannot keep any one of them because that will provoke the Lord to jealousy and anger. So this is,
it's not about, you know, whether the Lord is so kind, accepting. No, this is exclusive. Your marriage, Hebrews' relationship with the Lord is exclusive. No other. Now, we can maybe need to talk about, people like to talk about the modern idols. Okay, we're not talking about the pictures now in the household. But there are other idols. What are some of the idols? It's easy for me to say, oh, your career, your children, your husband, your wife, your parents, and pleasure, success. These are all kind of obvious idols. But the application of Second Commandment is not just about identifying the idols. There can be many obvious ones, like I just named for you. But there are probably more not so obvious ones in our lives. So identifying them, eliminate them, are like pulling weeds. You pull one out, and there's many more coming up. You know, it's like pulling weeds. You never win when you try to identify your idols and try to eliminate them. It's not a good method of keeping true, not to violate the Second Commandment. But instead, I feel that you need to keep your eyes focused on the one who love us and called us from darkness to light. Keep the eyes on the one who loves you, whom we love. It is only when our hearts, mind, and soul and strength have that one in our focus, we will forever put in weeds out of our lives. And pretty soon, you'll be exhausted. Pretty soon, you'll be exhausted. It is no accident that Deuteronomy speak of loving the Lord with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength in chapter 6 after Moses gave the Ten Commandments in chapter 5. Because you cannot keep the commandment, not even close, when you don't have the love for the Lord with all your hearts, mind, soul, and strength. So chapter 6 is necessary following chapter 5. Jealous God. And then the third commandment. I'm a jealous God, so you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Okay, how many times do you hear people use the Lord's name in vain? You know, OMG is using the Lord's name in vain, right? You guys say that? OMG, or you put it in your text message. OMG, wow. Using the name of the Lord in vain is coming to that, right? Or you can hear people saying, cursing God, right? Or they use Jesus Christ's name. Oh, Jesus is in an agitated sense. These are all examples using God's name in vain. But there is a more sort of kind of not so clear misuse of God's name. Let me give you an example. I have heard people who come to me and say, God told me. God told me, blah, 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 blah. God told me, blah, 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 blah. You know, when he says that, then there's no more conversations, right? If God told you, What can I say? What can the pastor say? God already told you. You just go ahead and do whatever God told you. God told me to get married with this girl, even though she's, questionable in our eyes. Maybe even unbiblical. But he says, God told me. Take the stamp of God. Put it on whatever that you like to say. You like to do. That is a hidden way of misuse God's name. You can say that kind of moving in my heart. God's sort of kind of, let me see this situations. But when you say God told me, that elevate to another level. That cut off all other communications and advice from other people. Cut off all conversations with other people because God already spoken to you. So just be careful when you tell people, God told me. Well, I mean, in my 40 years, 45 years of being a Christian, God only spoke to me. God told me only once. Only once. I have preached hundreds of sermons. I never said that God told me to speak this to you. God told me once about me. That's when God called me into the ministry. So misuse God's name, we have to think carefully through this. It's when you use God told me, you better be sure God really tell you that. And not just a stamp of authority or authenticity or whatever. And then, last, keeping the Sabbath. He's a jealous God, so you shall keep the Sabbath day holy. It tells you what needs to be done on the seventh day. It says you cannot do any work like you normally do because he told you about 6 days you shall do all this labor. Seventh day you rest from doing all that. Then you, not just you, but your children, even people who serve you in your household, your maidservant, your manservant, all your animals. All your animals. Nor the alien within your gates. In other words, people who come and visit you. You have to let them know, hey, I can't go, bar hopping with you on Sabbath day. I get to rest. I can't go barbecue. I can't go hiking with you because it's a Sabbath day. All these people who are visiting you has to follow the same law. They shall rest. And the reason is that the Lord rests on the seventh day. Give you an example. If God rests, it's not God need to rest, but God show you an example that he rested, so should you be rested on the Sabbath day. And also, Sabbath day is easy to see if you obeyed it or not. First three is kind of hard to see because they had to do with heart and attitude and that, You might have idols in your heart. I don't know. Right? But Sabbath day is easy to see. Sabbath day is easy to see. So, a good Hebrew will keep Sabbath day. In fact, they have a whole book called Mishnah. A whole book that explains to you what you can do, what you cannot do on Sabbath day. For example, how far can you travel? What can you cook? Can you light a stove? And, the Sabbath day, just a few verses. That Mishnah has this thick of rules that tells you what you can do, what you cannot do. So, the Sabbath day is not just that, about codified do's and don'ts.
Think about marriage. You think, remember, from the very beginning, this full commandment is coming from a context of marriage covenant. Think about this. Sabbath day is like you spending time with one that you love. Excluding everything else, concentrate on that day of spending time. My greatest regret as husband is that when I was working as pastor, I did not spend enough time with my wife, whom I love. I'm just learning to spend time with her. But that's a great regret. You never get those time back. Sabbath day, God give you a chance every week to redeem yourself, to say, I'm going to spend this time with God. That's what Sabbath day rest means. It's not just putting the burden here, okay? It's not just that. It's not just saying, okay, I can't walk more than 2 miles on Sabbath day, because 2.1 mile means I break the Sabbath. It's not bad. Sabbath day is used to spend with the Lord. Because for 6 days, you probably work very hard. God, Jesus Christ, is not in your heart or in your mind. And so God says, okay, on the seventh day, you don't do anything. So I can be your focus. That's what Sabbath day is. That's what Jesus meant about resting in Him. Is that you come to Him, you know, He says, learn from me, so you follow by Him, His humilities, and His grace and mercy on you. See, that's what the rest is. That's what rest is. It's not ceasing of work, but rather a closeness of relationship, renewal of relationship. Every week, Jesus gives you every week to redeem yourself, to draw close to Him. I'm learning this with my wife, but the previous 35 years, time's gone, you know. But I praise God. They still have time. We still have time to correct that. But the Lord Jesus, the Lord give you every week that you can correct it. Spend time, and that's what jealousy. God jealous for you to spend time with Him. God is jealous that you spend time with other things. God wants you to spend time with Him. Sometimes you don't even have to include your girlfriend or your wife. It's spending time yourself with Him. Spending time yourself with Him. Not all the time, but I'm saying, that also includes your spending private time with Jesus Christ. So that's the first four commandments. It deal with your relationship with God, your marriage with God, your marriage covenant with God. You know, I always feel that I have not been faithful in keeping these four, you know? And but my one hope is that God, like He forgive Israelites in Hosea, that God will forgive me for not being faithful to Him. So,
I hope that you go back and really look at again these four relationships, these four commandments in the context of marriage and jealousies. Let's pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are God in our lives. And all these things apply to our relationship with you. So we pray, Lord Jesus, that you help us to keep these commandments. But Lord, teach us how to love you. As you, as the Father told his people to love him with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Teach us to do that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.